I'd like to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke 15, verse 1. And all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And he spoke to them this parable, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders rejoicing, and being come to the house, calls together the friends and the neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' I say unto you that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner, more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance." And then the same Gospel, chapter 17. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he was going up to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain, as he entered into a certain village, 10 leprous men met him, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have compassion on us." And seeing them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass, as they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, seeing that he was cured, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were not the 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? That have not been found to return and give glory to God, save this stranger?" And he said to him, "Rise up and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee well." Reported missing in action. During wartime, how many households have been shattered by that tragic news? A wife being told that her husband is missing in action. A mother being told that her son or daughter is missing in action. The suspense added to because of the inconclusive nature of the message, leaving the household not knowing whether the person is dead or whether they're alive. We knew a brother in the north of Scotland who was taken prisoner of war during the Second World War of the last century. And for 2 years, his wife and family didn't know whether he was dead or alive. They only knew he was missing in action. At the end of 2 years, the good news came that he was alive, but was a prisoner of war. I was shocked to read recently of the number of persons who are reported missing in this country in which we live every year. Someone may just want to get out of the rat race, and they plan and decide to, as it were, disappear without leaving any information where they're going. Ultimately, someone misses them and they report them missing. young person falls into bad company, comes under a wrong influence, goes on that downward road, finally says he's had enough of parental authority, clears off from home without leaving a forwarding address. Parents are torn. Eventually, they report this son or this daughter missing. Various organizations get involved, including the police, in seeking to trace the whereabouts of the missing person. And sometimes the person is discovered, traced and discovered, and brought back home. Others, they're still missing. Now and then, in a public place, you'll see a poster with a photograph of a missing person and a description. But they're still missing. You know, in the gospel, God regards you as missing if you're still without a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. Missing out on the blessing that he is offering you in this wonderful person, our Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't read the latter part of the story of Luke 15, but the father, when the son returns, says, he was dead, but has come to life, was lost, and has been found. And the status of every one of us in this room, indeed of every person in this world, classified as a sinner before God, was that we were lost, we were missing. What was going to be done? Was God going to call on the organizations of this world to institute a search? No. God instituted his own search in order to find missing persons. And that search was spearheaded not in some personality of this world, it was spearheaded in the person of his son. And God came into this world in the person of his son, Jesus, in order to find what was lost and bring it home to himself. To find the lost sinner. He says it himself when he came here. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And how grateful I am that in that seeking he found me. I was missing. I was lost. But what about you? Has he found you yet? That personal transaction that is involved in the Lord Jesus coming close to you and you opening your life by faith and saying, I want you in my life. Then it can be said that you've been found by Jesus. And you know something? This search for missing persons has gone on right through this dispensation and is still going on tonight. The question for you, the question for me is, has he found you yet? Has he found me? You know, this shepherd only lost one sheep. Only one sheep. Why bother about one sheep? It says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And in these few words is conveyed not only the plan of God in seeking the sinner, but the putting into action of that plan in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how has he sought the sinner? Friend, before you and I could be found by the Saviour. What a road had to be travelled by Jesus. The road in order to once and for all remove from before God's eye what had caused you to be lost in his eyes, your sins, and the whole question of sin. And the Saviour came into this world in order to meet all the claims that God had as far as sin was concerned, and to satisfy these claims, and in the sight of God, to offer himself as an offering on which God's just judgment on sin could be pronounced and carried out. And I can tell you tonight that that judgment has been carried out. And now, in perfect liberty and freedom, the Saviour is seeking you, a sinner from God, in order to bring you back in all the joy and the full forgiveness that can be found in the presence of God. This one, this shepherd, it says, and he go after that which is lost. Ah, the going after. What was involved in Calvary's cross for the Saviour? You and I cannot measure what was involved there. The one perfect, sinless one. He went to Calvary's cross, yes, to endure the ignominy, the shame of the cross. You know, what was heaped upon him in shame and suffering there. But above all, he went to Calvary's cross so that what God held against you or me could be dealt with once and for all, and he could come near to you tonight and find you in all your need, needing a Saviour, needing some joy, some satisfaction in your life that can't be found anywhere else. And having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus himself, the Lord of glory, telling this simple story about a shepherd with 100 sheep, 99 of them safe, one missing? And it just shows how far God has been prepared to go to rescue one sinner. And if there had been only you, friend, only me, no one else to be found, no one else to be saved, the same road to Calvary's cross would have had to be travelled. The same suffering, the same forsaking would have had to be endured in order that you could be found by Jesus. It says, and having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, and I like this, rejoicing. You know, friend, this chapter is full of joy. It's full of joy. And it's not the sheep exactly. It's not the lost coin. It's not the lost son. It's God who's rejoicing. He's rejoicing whenever a soul is found and secure for himself. But if God is in joy, friend, if you're the sinner that's secure, if you're the sinner that's found, you surely will have great joy as well. It says, being come to the house, calls together the friends and the neighbours, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. Did you ever wonder why he didn't take this sheep back and just leave him with the 99 in the wilderness? That's where he left the other 99. He took the sheep to the house. I think he wanted this sheep to become personally acquainted with him. And that is definitely what the Saviour wants you to find in himself. A nearness, an intimacy, a definite acquaintance with him. And that is not found in the wilderness. That's found in the house where the rejoicing goes on. He says, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I say unto you that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner, more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. This chapter demonstrates the distance that has come in between man and God. And you and I, friend, couldn't take one step to remove that distance. It was there. We couldn't do anything to remove that distance. So what happened? God took the necessary steps himself, and he's effected in the work and death of Christ at Calvary's cross, a means where all the distance has been removed, and God can be perfectly happy in drawing you, a sinner, close to himself by your repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The story is simple in the gospel. It's not complicated. You know, these persons that I mentioned at the beginning, who may still be missing, you know, you may be missing in a far greater way. You may still come along to the preaching and still be missing, you know. Persons may see you physically, in physical form. You say, well, how can I be missing? You're missing out on the greatest things that God has to give you if you haven't yet yielded and opened your affections to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, there's two things I would say about your attendance at this gospel preaching. That it's in the goodness of God to provide a preaching. It's in the goodness of God that he's put in your heart to be here, to hear the preaching. But the greater thing is to be found by the seeking shepherd, the seeking saviour. And I'll tell you something, he's seeking you tonight. When Matthew refers to this story, he says, if it should come to pass that he find it. When Luke refers to it, and when he finds it, having found it. Ah, the optimism of divine grace. And this is the dispensation of divine grace. And God is intent on securing you for blessing. On your part, it requires repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says here. One repenting sinner, more than from 99 who have no need of repentance. When he goes into the next story, he says, there is joy before the angels of God for one repenting sinner. When he goes into the third little story, he doesn't mention repentance. He doesn't mention heaven rejoicing. But it's evident in the young man who came to himself in that far country that repentance was deep in his soul. And it's evident as he comes to the joy of the Father's house, that the joy in the Father's house is equal to the joy of heaven. And so the Father rejoices, God rejoices, and the younger son rejoices as well. I wonder if we'll have rejoicing in this room tonight by you coming to a personal knowledge of the Saviour, of you being found by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh friend, don't be in the missing person category. Be found by Jesus. He's coming your way tonight. He'll come right alongside you. He'll knock at your heart's door. Don't keep it locked. Swing it widely open and let the Savior in tonight. Be found by Jesus. Let him carry you home, rejoicing on his shoulders, and you'll prove the safety and certainty of the joy and blessing that he can give you. And that joy and blessing, as he, amongst the friends and neighbours, would like to think that that is this little company tonight, friends and neighbours, who enter into the joy of heaven over repenting sinners. Luke 17, different story altogether. 10 leprous men met him, who stood afar off, passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he meets these 10 leprous men who stood afar off. It's a word that Luke uses, afar off. Referred to in chapter 15 about the young man who went into a country a long way off. Chapter 18, there's that tax gatherer who stood afar off and said, God, have mercy, have compassion on me, the sinner. And here, these 10 lepers are standing afar off. Every one of us was found in that position, standing afar off. But you know, the grandeur and glory of the glad tidings is that the glad tidings of peace have come to those that are near, but they're also coming to those that are far off. That was the Gentiles, out with the promises, out with the covenants of Israel, without God, without hope, without Christ in the world. What a situation to be so far off from God. But that's where the glad tidings found us, and it found us so that we could be brought near. Leprosy, terrible condition, you know. It had a degrading effect on persons, and when it reached its fullness, you know, it could affect limbs. Limbs could fall off. Persons could get totally disfigured. And in these days that we're speaking of here, persons were ostracized from society. They were kept away from society. But they weren't kept away from Jesus. It says, these persons, they lifted up their voice saying, Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. I'll tell you something. The Lord Jesus has never turned aside one plea for compassion. Never. And these lepers couldn't rely on anything, any way that they could present themselves, on anything that they could do. They relied on the compassions of God expressed in Jesus. There they are, have compassion on us. And seeing them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. That's all he said. It says it came to pass as they were going, they were cleansed. They were obedient to his word, the obedience of faith. And that's what the glad tidings is preached for. Is for the obedience of your faith, to obey the word of Jesus. And as these persons listened to the word of Jesus, they took it up and they set off to visit the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Just imagine that moment in their lives when suddenly they looked at one another and leprosy had gone. No doctor of the day could effect that cure. There's that other woman in chapter 8 who had a flux of blood, and she tried so many physicians and spent all her living in order to find a cure for her condition. But her condition only got worse. And eventually, she came to Jesus. And in a moment, as she touched him, her condition had completely gone. And just imagine these 10 leprous men, a little group of 10, and they are obedient to the word of Jesus. And as they go, suddenly they look at one another, and there's not one vestige of leprosy left in their bodies. And that's the story for a soul that comes in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, finds that what he is or what she is as a sinner, the provision that's been made in the finished work of Christ is great enough to remove or to clear the guilty conscience, to remove every vestige of sin and the judgment that's due on sin, to remove that because it's been borne by the one who triumphed at Calvary's cross. It says, and one of them, seeing that he was cured, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not the 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? My theme for tonight is missing persons. Are you the one, dear friend? Are you amongst the 9? Where are the 9? I'd like you young folks to take this question away with you tonight. Are you the one that has returned to give thanks to the Saviour? Are you amongst the 9 who's received the blessing of forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternity safe with Jesus? But have you returned in a depth of appreciation to the one who's given you such blessing, to give thanks to him? What's it say about this man? And he was a Samaritan. Not regarded highly in that day, you know. Remember, the Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria, and there he met that woman at the well and brought wondrous blessing into her life. Wasn't she thankful? What about you? Where are the nine? Am I amongst the nine? Not having the joy of confessing the name of Christ. Not having the joy of true liberty with Christ. Not having the blessing of entering in to all that coming to Jesus really means. The blessing of forgiveness of sins, of being justified before God, of finding peace, of standing in favor with God on the basis of the work of Christ. And then as to the future, to have a hope. All these things are so wonderful. And you know, in principle, this one person returns and he says to the Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. He says he fell on his feet, his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not the 10 cleansed? Every one of these 10 were cleansed and got blessing. And then he says, but the 9, where are they? The Lord Jesus feels it, you know. If you do not return to give thanks to him. I'd like to leave you, young folks, tonight to work out what he meant by this question, where are the 9? I'm not going to put my connotation on it. Put the connotation on it for yourself and ask yourself, have I really returned and fallen at his feet, acknowledging that in the time when he's rejected in this world, I'm going to be true to him here. He says, there have not been found to return and give glory to God save this stranger. And we were all strangers. Strangers from these blessings. Strangers from God. But oh, to be under his touch. To be under the touch of his word. To be obedient to that word by faith. And to find that as I'm obedient, I discover that my sins are gone by virtue of the work of Christ at Calvary's cross. That the blood of Jesus is sufficient to wash every sin away. But then, there's the obligation on me to return and say thank you. Giving thanks to the Father, Paul says, who has made us fit to share the portion of the saints in life. Not now a missing person, but a person that's been found by Jesus, a person who's a new theme, a new object in their life. It says, he said to him, rise up and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee well. None of the 9 got that personal word from Jesus. This one soul got this confirmation, the joy in the heart of knowing that their faith in this blessed person had made them well. Oh friend, I commend these few simple impressions to you, that you may not remain as a missing person, but if found by Jesus, you may enjoy the blessing certainly, but always be sure to return and render him a note of thanksgiving. He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of your full confiding trust. He's worthy of your full committal. He's given everything for you. What are you going to give for him? Are you the one? Or are you among the 9? Answer it before the Lord Jesus tonight. May God bless the world.